Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Thinking Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So here's the topic today. I know everybody is looking forward to this one. What would the current Kelly Hatfield tell the 20-year-old version of Kelly Hatfield that would enhance her ability to create success? You like this topic?
I do. And, you know, I knew that we were going to, you know, I knew that this week it would be my turn. You did that in our last episode and that it would be my turn. And so it really got my subconscious, you know, working on thinking, really thinking deeply about it, because it isn't something that I've thought very deeply about. And so it's been a really great exercise for me to, yeah, just think more deeply about that and think about what have some of the secrets been, you know, to my success. And so if I'm talking to, you know, a 20-year-old Kelly who, you know, at that time, you know, obviously for most 20-year-olds, there's likely a lot of uncertainty, you know, and I was going to school, but I really didn't have a clear path forward at that point, other than I knew I wanted to be a business owner. I'd fallen in love with the idea of being an entrepreneur through a program called DECA. And so I knew that that was my path forward. I just wasn't quite sure how I was going to get there. I was going to community college, you know, paying for that by myself, living on my own at 18, and I'm just trying to find my way in the world. And I came to from a family that hadn't gone to college, you know, who my dad was in the trades and my mom was a stay-at-home mom for many, many years. And so I really didn't know how to dream big and how to think bigger for myself. I just knew that I wasn't going to be satisfied in the type of life that my, and this is no, you know, I'm nothing negative as far as my parents are concerned, but I just knew that I was never going to be satisfied with that life that they had. And so, you know, with that in mind, just forging my path forward. And so that's kind of the lens that I was looking through and where I was at when I was 20 years old, was trying to figure this out. I was working at a floral shop, you know, I think at that time. So we're talking a long time ago, you know, we're talking 30 plus years ago. I don't know what minimum wage at that point was, but I was probably making $5 an hour, $6 an hour, something along those lines, trying to eke out every little penny that I could to live on my own, because I was renting my own little apartment from up above where I worked and going to school.
Now, I assume you're probably boy privacy too, right?
I actually lived with my high school boyfriend at the time. And so also too, when I was about 20, 21, I was going through a terrible breakup because I thought that this person was the person and was so brokenhearted. And, you know, it's so funny, you know, again, just looking back at that now and being where I am now and in the relationship that I've had for 30 years now is just funny. But so anyway, as I was going through this exercise and thinking about, all right, what have been kind of the foundations, I think, of what's made me successful? And I think the first thing that comes to mind goes along this idea of having a growth mindset that we've talked about as part of the you know, the kind of the thing to be at pillars. And this is tied to that, and being that the quality of your questions is going to determine the quality of your life. So be curious, you know, ask questions, ask how, what, why, you know, and be open to learning. Be more interested than interesting, meaning you are listening more than you are talking. And I think that, you know, and that being, again, with having that growth mindset, with being open to receiving and letting the people who've gone before you, you know, and who've opened some of those doors, be smart enough to walk through them because of the, you know, types of questions you're asking. And, you know, that would be the first one for me, is relating the growth mindset to the quality of questions that you ask is going to determine the quality of your life. And tied to that then is that seeking first to understand. Again, ties directly back to questions, asking questions, getting curious about why maybe somebody's perspective is what it is, you know. And I feel like part of the success that I've had is that I don't know where some of these skills came from, but they were pretty intuitive. And then through some of the growth personal development that I did, I've, you know, was turned on to some of these concepts and ideas, and they've served me well. And so 20-year-old Kelly, they will serve you well, you know, throughout your life and helping you build relationships and build businesses as a result of those relationships that you've built.
Right. You know, I tell you something that catches my attention with that. Yes, I saw it. I mean, that's so who you are. I mean, for the moment I met you, that's who you were, is growing. At what age did that really start happening in your life?
Yeah. I've always been like, I was so lucky that I had a dad who turned me on to reading really early in life, and reading became a escape for me. So I was so lucky that, and not fiction. I mean, like Richest Man in Babylon, you know, Think and Grow Rich was one of the first, you know, books that was in the that I thought was in the financial space that he had introduced to me.
And how old were you when?
I was early teens.
Wow. Well, right there. That's why that.
Yeah. You know, and I watched my dad, you know, although he was in the trades, he wasn't necessarily a, you know, what you would envision. He meditated. He did yoga. He, you know what I mean? And so I saw some of those principles and had an example, you know, with him. And I think that ingrained in me pretty early. And yeah, so I think I just always knew that if I can't figure something out, then, and this again is back in the day before the internet, how wonderful technology is today. But if I didn't know how to do something, I'd just go to the library.
Right. They had electricity.
I knew the Dewey Decimal System, and I'd marked myself down to the library and figure it out.
That's the attitude. That is fascinating, because I see that your dad instilled that in you in your early teenage years. And, you know, I looked at my life and how totally unenlightened I was until I got to be 50. And, you know, sort of this attitude of I didn't have time for personal growth, which, by the way, is how 98% of the population is.
Yeah.
And so, not that that's any excuse at all, but, you know, I could look at your life and I see how you, because you were oriented that way, it had a big impact on your life. And I see a little more of the contrast, because, you know, once I got it at 50, and created a system and also put it in my live GPS template, you know, I was growing exponentially. And, you know, that's such a great lesson for people, is to make personal growth more than an intention, because the vast majority of people, it's an intention, and it states an intention unless they influence the subconscious mind to make it a reality.
You know, what's been fascinating, and I'm very lucky that I developed that habit early, but to the point that you just made, it wasn't focused. You know, I was just hungry, you know, for information and for learning. But now, you know, probably these last 10 years and definitely the last 7 that the two of us have known each other, my approach to growth is much more targeted, where I will like get immersed in a particular topic that I want instead of dabbling, you know, and just taking, you know, picking up a piece of it here and there. So if I want to really focus on, you know, what's happening now with marketing or how can I grow my business with AI, because that's huge right now. I'm immersing myself in as learning as much as I can about how to use that tool for our business. And so I'm taking in as much as I can in that space. So it's much more focused, you know, if that makes sense. And I learned that from you, you know, and through this methodology. And so I pick, you know, a topic, and maybe it's each month or maybe it's a quarter, depending on how big the topic is, where I really filter in the stuff that's coming into my awareness that I'm learning so that I can stay focused on really kind of getting the information and beginning to put my reps in and get action oriented in that particular space with the things that I'm learning, because it's too easy to get distracted otherwise with all of the other things that I could learn that I love to learn. I get distracted by those. And I think so many entrepreneurs can relate, and probably so many people can relate, because we like novelty. And so when a new idea comes in, it takes us off course and goes this way. And that's one of the challenges and why I had trouble being consistent, was because my brain does, it's like, oh, here's another new thing to learn. And, you know, that keeps you from being consistent. So being able to build in with this methodology, the focus of what it is that I'm learning, what are my goals? And relative to those goals, what skills or relationships am I going to need to develop to make that become a reality? And then I'm organizing things. So I'm going too much into the weeds right now. I'll go back to what the 20-year-old. The other thing that I would tell her, there's two more things that I think have been really foundational for my success. And the first one, there's three. The first one I just mentioned to you, which is the quality of your questions is going to determine the quality of your life, having that growth mindset, seeking first to understand. The next one is that the lens that you look through matters. So the meaning you give something makes all of the difference. So I couldn't look at, like, so for example, unfortunately, at the time of this recording, I just lost my father-in-law last week. And this man has been, because I've known my husband for 50 years, because I was childhood friends with his sister, this man was in my life and a surrogate dad for me for 50. He's probably the person who's known me the longest other than who birthed me. And so it's a devastating loss, you know, and I can choose to look at it that way. And it is, that's true. But what also is true is what an amazing man he was and the joy that he brought to the family and the laughter and the things that I learned from him and how lucky we were to have him for 80 years. And then what is this? So this goes back to the quality of your questions. What am I supposed to learn as a result of going through this with him? Because it was not a great, it was, you know, brain cancer. It was a terrible scenario for the last few weeks. So what do I need to learn as a result of going through that process with him and with that process with my husband as well? Those are the things, like, I'm looking at it through that lens, not looking through the lens like, oh my gosh, you know, what's next? And everybody's dropping like flies around me. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there is a way. So that lens that you look through also determines the quality of your life. If you are looking, and I've talked about this a million times, you know, I say this like, if you are looking, whatever you're looking for, you will find. So if you are looking for and picking out all the negative stuff, guess what? You know, that is your reticular activating system at work. And I know that now. And that's one of the things I would tell my 20-year-old self, is understanding how the human mind works and how important that is.
Right.
But what you look for, whatever you look for, you'll find, you know, and whatever you focus on expands. You know, so those are that's what I would be telling my 20-year-old self. I think that served me well, that I'm able to take a situation and that may not be the rosiest of situations and say, what am I supposed to learn as a result of going through this? And that's just made each, you know, progression or relationship or whatever be that much better as a result of that. And I think that the last thing that's been instrumental, and this is one of the key places where meeting you, John, and Think It Be It methodology has played the biggest role in my life. And it's played so many key roles that this has been a huge one for me in the quality of my life, which is being able to train my subconscious to get more present. Because as you know, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast, I am a worrier. And understanding that 99% of what I worry about.
Interject one thing.
Yeah.
Do not accept that you're a warrior.
I was a worrier. I was a worrier. And so this methodology has helped me become more present and trigger. Like when I start to feel that feeling, or when I start to notice that my thoughts are too far in the present and I'm worrying about something, I'm immediately able to trigger back to gratitude and get back in the moment, which has been amazing. As far like the amount of energy I used to waste worrying about something that's never going to come, 99% of the time, it never comes to pass. You know, so I wasted that. This is one of the key things I would tell my 20-year-old self. If I had a chance to go back, it would be 99% of what you're going to worry about will never come to pass. And if you could redirect that energy to focus on action-oriented, you know, things that are going to make a positive impact in your life, you will, you know, grow by leaps and bounds as a result of doing that. And so I think that's one of the key things. And it wasn't really until, you know, we met that I was able to break myself of that habit that I had developed. It was a key behavior developed from childhood and those childhood wounds that we've talked about before that would put me into that worry mode and you know, then would turn into kind of people-pleasing and stuff. But being able to get more present and in the moment has made a tremendous impact on my life and has been pivotal. And I think, too, that then that last piece, and this ties all of it together, which is really based in the science of it, which is, Kelly, 20-year-old Kelly, you are going to learn when you are 40 years old how the human mind works. And that is going to change the trajectory of the next season and chapters of your life. And, you know, I've said this a million times, you know, how I wish I would have known this earlier, because it would have made a huge difference in my life. Even just the one thing that I mentioned about worrying would have made a tremendous impact had I been able to recognize that about myself. And, you know, John, too, I was thinking about this as a result of going through this exercise. I don't think I realized how big of a challenge the worrying was until I sat down with myself and started to think more deeply about my life, what I wanted, what was holding me back from that, what was the, you know, the linchpin basically to, and that is, you know, I think I attribute that all to going through this process and implementing this methodology, because I don't even realize that I recognized it because I was just going so fast. I'd been going so fast for 40 years. A million things coming at me, being in reactive kind of mode, just doing the best I can, taking action where I think, you know, and just thinking at that surface level. So, you know, I think as I'm talking to my 20-year-old self or thinking about that 20-year-old self too, it is slow down, going back to get present and think deeply. Start to think deeply about your life, because I feel like I missed a good 10 or 15 years running as fast as I could on that proverbial treadmill of life. And I think that had I implemented this methodology sooner, that would not have been the case.
You know, data is fascinating, and that is so gratifying to hear. I think a couple of things. You know, of course, that technique, like you see yourself worrying, triggering to something you're grateful for, you know, that's one of the obvious part of the methodology that affects worrying. But maybe the not so obvious part is when you create immense clarity about your life, it crowds out your ability to work. It probably, you know, the mind only has a certain level of capacity. And when you create immense clarity about your life and what you want and who you want to be, and it actually focuses your attention on that as opposed to worrying about, you know, whatever you're going to worry about. You know, you're naturally going to worry because you're wired to be fear-based and reactive. So if you do nothing, that's what you're going to get. And it takes literally overriding that with this 12-minute fake technique to cause you to be focused on what you want as opposed to allowing worry to dominate your thoughts. You buy that?
I do. And I also think, too, that through some of the deeper thinking, because one of the other things other than gratitude that I trigger to are the accomplishments because it's like, I can figure my way out of anything. So what if that happens? If that happens, I'll figure it out, you know, because I have exhibit A, B, C, D, E, F of other ways I have moved through something that's been a challenge. You know what I mean? And so I think confidence comes also with this methodology and with some of these things I put into practice and be made habits as a result of reprogramming my subconscious.
Right, right. Well, those are powerful lessons
for the 20-year-old.
You know, I tell you, this is interesting. You know, I've done this. I did this with myself in my class. Then I had Bill Cunningham, the former chancellor of Princeton, who I came had come talk to my class last Thursday, and I had him do that. And my friend Jim Capcart do that. But, you know, it's funny. When you tell the 20-year-old virgin, do this, do that, all that stays in attention with the vast majority of people, unless you understand how the human mind works and you can convert intentions into actually had. And so if you're not influencing that subconscious mind with those intentions that you want, then they're going to just stay intentions.
Exactly. Yep. And I think that is why for the first 40 years of my life, you know, I had the best intentions. You know, I was doing a lot of the right things, not necessarily consistently, for sure, not consistently, and had all kinds of ideas and intentions around wanting to do other things, but just wasn't ever able to, you know, like we talked about, I would do it for a short window of time, you know, like most of us do when you're trying to do something by sheer, you know, willpower, you revert back to that subconscious and it runs your life, that autopilot.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, you find this funny. You know, on my Life GPS template that I read every day, I want to read what the first thing that I read every day. I pass through to the standard template. I am a powerful creator. I visualize and speak my desired world into existence. I'm an unstoppable force of nature. So this is interesting. A couple of days ago, Ginger, Saturday morning, decides to read my visualization from start to finish. So she reads. And so she's getting ready this morning. I think she brushed her teeth. And I go, baby, no, I'm a powerful creative.
And do I want to hear the rest of this?
You know, I'll tell you, you know,
I visualize and speak my desired world into existence. And I said, you know, like it or not, you know, I'm an unstoppable force of nature. She broke her teeth. She says, yeah, you're like God.
I love her.
I mean, that ain't been a piece of being. Yeah, you're like.
She's the best. Oh, my God.
That's funny. You know, I tell you, the other thing that I've been thinking about, and I think this applies to the advice to the 20-year-old you, it's I've really gotten tuned into how spiritual this practice is and how, you know, so many people that come into our world and start doing this methodology, maybe they're 50 years old, maybe they're 30 years old, maybe they're 20, maybe they're even 60 or 70 years old. But the thing I come to appreciate is that whoever you are today has been created haphazard. There's been no real intention in that. You know, good things have happened to you, bad things have happened to you. You were raised a certain way. And even on that raising, your parents probably didn't intentionally raise you this way or that way. They just raised you. And how you were raised was certainly not your intention. Your parents were running the show on how you were raised, but when you look at it from afar, how you were raised was not your intention. And so the point I'll make it is how cool is it to whatever age you are, to step back and go, okay, enough. I'm going to create the ideal me. I'm going to go in and I'm going to create on this template the ideal me in the five areas of my life, and I'm going to do it with pure intention and my conscious mind. And if it takes me a week or a month, doesn't matter, but I'm going to create the ideal me. And then once you create it, then you feed it to yourself every day, and that's who you become, because that influences the subconscious mind, which is controlling your daily thoughts and actions, or 95% of them. And after 21 days, it accepts that programming, and you literally become the ideal you. You know, maybe I'm thinking about my birthday, but you know, I see the power of your identity, and it causes you to love yourself more and to appreciate yourself more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a never-ending journey, because I see with myself, there's always things that I'd like, you know, improve, or I understand something at a deeper level, and now I change my template, and now I go even further into something, and then I understand it even more, and then I change it again. And, you know, it's just a powerful process of evolving yourself.
It absolutely is. And it's so interesting. I know we need to be wrapping up soon, but just in relation to my father-in-law passing away last week, it's got me thinking about my death and how precious life is. And, you know, I kind of future forecasted like 30 years, hopefully, you know, from now that, you know, or 40 years, or, you know, I'm on my deathbed. And when I'm reflecting back, so kind of pulling myself out of the current moment, when I'm reflecting back, how is it that I, you know, what will I have wanted to achieve? How will I have wanted to show? What impact will I have wanted to have in the world? You know, and it's making me think too about, okay, you know, well, how now do you need to be showing up differently to make kind of that level of impact? Or what adjustments do I need to make in my life right now so that when I, and down the road 40 years from now, you know, I am proud and happy. And, you know, death, I'm not concerned about at all because I put it all out on the table. You know what I mean? So I'm in the process of thinking about that. And when you said identity, you know, I'm thinking about my next version of me and what that identity needs to be and what identity I need to start living into so that when I'm reflecting back, and I know for some people that sounds morbid, but I don't feel that way about it. And so this is a beautiful way of being able to integrate, you know, using this methodology to then be able to really hone in on that identity piece and start aligning behavior with it. And I would, like, prior to meeting you and prior to the methodology, this would have been something I would have thought about, but I wouldn't have and I would have tried to integrate some of the things, and then wouldn't have successfully done that, likely, you know, because just of the lack of consistency. And so what I love about this methodology is I know with certainty that when, as I start to build more clarity around this and get clear around how I'm going to build this, you know, how I'm going to revise my current, think it be a GPS profile or you can't template, that I know I'm going to actually be able to, like, there's a confidence that comes from knowing, well, I've got the tool. I've got exactly what I need, the mechanism to make the necessary adjustments that I need to make so that I am in alignment when I am at that place. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because you mentioned identity and it was right along the lines of what you're saying. But these are kinds of some of the things that I'm going through right now as I'm just contemplating what we just went through.
Oh, yeah. You know, as we wrap this up, I want to throw one final thing out there. Well, I want our audience to just think about one thing. The significance of 95% of your daily thoughts and actions being unconscious. Just literally, let's say 15 seconds, and just think about the significance of that. That the vast majority of your thoughts and actions are unconscious.
Yeah.
Are y'all thinking about this? Because here's what I see. People know that, but they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They know it sort of intellectually, but they don't really know it. Because if you know it, your life is never the same. I mean, your life was literally never the same. You really get that, you go, oh, well, my actions determine my success. And if 95% of them are unconscious, I kind of gave control of my income daily actions. Why do I do that? Well, it's today, right here.
Yep.
You know, you're feeding the succinct articulation of your life, yourself each day. You know, but that's what advances me today is people know it at one level, but they really don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Working on how to apply this in my book. That's why at the end of the day, your subconscious mind is either your greatest asset or it's your greatest nemesis. Because if you need helping, you're wired for survival, you're fear-based, you're reactive, and it's a lousy way to live. And you have that negative inner voice. And, you know, it's just not a very good way to live.
Yeah.
Okay. That's hardly thought. Contemplate that, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute-a-day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for a free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.